Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Now, next Monday, rules around close contacts in primary schools and childcare facilities will change. So if your child is a close contact of a confirmed case from Monday, but they show no symptoms, they will no longer have to isolate at home for 10 days. The Irish National Teachers Organisation General Secretary John Boyle says this move has happened too quickly. He says it should be deferred until reliable data on outbreaks in primary schools is available. It's only yesterday, of course, that we learned there were 90 outbreaks in schools last week, and they led to 412 confirmed cases of COVID-19. Well, I'm joined now in the studio by Niamh O'Byrne, National Lead of Test and Trace for the HSE. You're very welcome, Niamh. Thanks for being with us. We were speaking this morning before we came on air to Brian O'Doherty, who's the president of the Irish Primary Principals Network, and he raised two questions that he'd like answered. He says it seems like a premature decision. So why now?
So the children have been back at school for a number of weeks now, and we've been tracking the levels of disease in children before they went back to school and the data we had throughout August, and then as children went back to school. So as you know, we've seen significant volumes of testing coming through, very large volumes of children. In some weeks, up to 70,000 children under the age of 18 were coming forward for testing. But what we have noticed is a significant drop in positivity. So that age group were testing at about 14.5% primary school children before school positivity levels, and now that's at about 5%. So definitely we're seeing lots of viruses circulating, definitely seeing some symptomatic children but not being positive for COVID.
So when John Boyle asks, what, you know, is there reliable data here? That's what you're basing this decision on.
So we're basing it on a combination of the general testing of children, the positivity of children in the last number of weeks. And then also we have been testing within the school environments. As you know, many children have been impacted so far in the school year as having been identified as a close contact and taken out of the classroom. And we have been testing those children and again looked at the positivity rate in those children. And we're quite comfortable from a public health perspective that we haven't seen vast outbreaks in schools or to the level of impact that it is in taking children out of school.
So then to Brian O'Doherty's next question is, have you carried out modelling on this then to project forward what might happen from Monday?
So for Monday, you know, what we see is that children will stay in school, and the parents, again, the advice is always if they're symptomatic to not bring them to school. But asymptomatic children being in school, even if they are a close contact, the only circumstances where they wouldn't be in school is a household close contact. And that includes the definition of having had a sleepover or staying overnight in somebody's house.
Because the positivity rate there is much higher.
It's much, much higher, yes. So for children, it can be up to 25% a positivity rate if you are living with an index case or having spent the night in someone's house where someone is infectious in an index case. So that's why if in that circumstance, children will still have to restrict movements. But if they're a social close contact, go on a play date, go to a movie, go out for dinner, anything like that, they will not be considered a close contact.
Only if they're symptomatic?
Only if they're symptomatic.
And what constitutes a symptom now for a school going child? There's a lot of confusion around this. The runny nose, for example.
Yeah, so again, the advice on the runny nose is to just to monitor, send the child to school, but monitor. But it's more the other symptoms, the cough, the temperature, and the parents understanding that the child is unwell. And they know, again, are their child the best? And in that circumstance, they should not send the child to school.
Okay, so temperature or
sore throat. Yeah, all of those symptoms, keep the child out of school and send them back 48 hours after no symptoms.
So there'll be a judgment call, really, that parents will have to make, but also teachers.
Well, I think with parents, absolutely. I mean, the guidance has always been same for adults, not to go to work, not to go to the office, symptomatic. It's important that we still monitor that at the moment. But if the child just is a child who generally has a runny nose and it's just a common theme throughout the winter, then that's not a reason to keep them out of school.
Yeah, I suppose it's been drilled into us, though, as parents, hasn't it, over the last 18 months. If your unvaccinated child is a close contact of a confirmed case, they'll have to isolate at home. So we have to get our heads around this change now. And it's a big change.
Yeah, it is a big change. And I mean, as we're moving through the pandemic, these are the kind of changes that we're going to come across. And we've all got to get used to it. It's a huge change. And we understand that as a health system. And it's really important that we communicate really well and try and help people understand the change. But in the broader space, the impact on children is quite significant and has been over the last number of years with the amount of time they've been out of the classroom. So for their mental and physical well-being, being in school is really the best thing for them.
Mm-hmm. I suppose people will want reassurance this morning. You know, we'll be wondering, Is my child safe in school? If I'm a teacher, am I safe if close contacts who are asymptomatic are still going to be in the classroom?
Well, we do feel very much that the classroom is a setting that is safe and that there isn't much transmission either between child to child in general, but also within the classroom setting. And even children who have tested positive, now it's quite difficult for us to ascertain whether they actually contracted that in the classroom or outside the classroom setting from children or from adults. So it's quite difficult to just pin down and say whether it actually happened in the classroom. And the general feeling within public health is that that's not the setting where it does transmit the most.
Okay, just going back to some of the reaction again on Morning Ireland this morning, Elaine Dunn from the Federation of Early Childcare Providers said that the abruptness of the decision shocked her, and she's looking at when society is opening up more towards the end of October, and she's wondering why the decision has been made now, a month earlier, a month before that happens.
The decision is being made now purely on the impact on children. So every day we have thousands of more children who are identified as a close contact and taken out of school for nearly 10 days. So the impact is quite significant on children. And as I say, we've known over the last 2 years they've been heavily impacted. And it's not impossible for the same child to have, you know, one period of isolation and then another one if there's another case in their class or in their contact. So it's really is back to being really important that they're in school.
Not much lead-in time though. I mean, we found out about this yesterday. It's happening on Monday. It doesn't give us much time to get used to this big shift in policy.
Yeah, I think it'll be important over the next coming days that we do continue to explain the decision and the comfort that the doctors within the HSC feel with the decision that it's the right thing to do. They've been talking about it for a number of weeks now and trying to make sure we saw the data over the last number of weeks to be very confident in the decision they've made.
So how do you explain then the difference in policy around close contact rules for unvaccinated adults and children, because the rules remain the same for unvaccinated adults, and we're talking about unvaccinated children here mm-hmm. as well. So the HSE website tells us that even if they feel well, unvaccinated adults should restrict their movements for 14 days if they're deemed a close contact.
That's right. So the advice remains the same for anyone over the age of 13. So that includes unvaccinated secondary school children and unvaccinated adults. So they will still, if they're a close contact of an index case and unvaccinated, they'll be asked to restrict their movements and come forward for two tests.
Why is that?
It's a different because they're over the age of 13 and adults, they are in a different circumstance in terms of their ability to contract the virus and their ability to spread the virus in the environments that they frequent, which is more like work, offices, public transport. It's not the same, say, for younger children, and they're not being impacted in the same way in terms of their education.
Is this move a precursor to a widespread scaling back of the test and trace function?
So overall, we are looking at the testing strategy as we move from pandemic to endemic. We know we're not there yet, but in due course, there will be a time where we will be there, fingers crossed, if we continue to have good progress in the disease.
Because this report that was written by Professor Martin Cormacan from the HSE in July, it was reported last week that he suggested that vaccinated adults who have mild symptoms would also not be tested. Is that about to happen too?
We're not there yet, but absolutely we will be looking at our testing strategy, and we'll be looking at what's right for testing and going forward, because there is an impact on testing on individuals. As you say, just like the children, adults who are close contacts will be out of the workplace. Thankfully, we've got tremendously good vaccination levels, so the impact is not as high because of the fact that the vast majority of people are fully vaccinated.
What does this say, though, to us about how we're dealing with COVID now? Like, are we now saying we're not going to attempt to break transmission chains?
Well, we're in a different phase of the pandemic now. Vulnerable people and the vast majority of our adult population are fully vaccinated. So the impact of the virus has lessened as a result. And as you can see, we've lower hospitalisation and ICU levels, given the case numbers we even have today. So we have to do what's appropriate for the disease at the time. So as we come closer to it being considered endemic, we will need to adapt our testing policy as a result.
Because the people impacted by this, they're under 12, they can't get vaccinated. There's no vaccination rollout for them. Is it dangerous in any way to take our eye off the ball here with these children who are still at risk of long COVID? Some of them, maybe a very small percentage, but still there is that possibility.
Well, I think, again, the clinicians within the HSE have considered this in great depth. They've studied it all the way through last year, academic year, all the way through the summer. And they feel, again, in the broader interest of children, again, it just remains really important that they are in school and they get the chance to get their education back, and they're focused on being there rather than being at home, where the vast majority of them will be asymptomatic and will not have COVID.
Okay. Our listeners are confused about what you do if your child has cold symptoms. So maybe we'll just go over that again and explain. My child has a snuffly nose, congestion. What do you do now from Monday?
So I think similar. This hasn't really changed over the last number of weeks. If the child has been on the HSE website, if the child does have a runny nose, a standard symptom that they generally speaking have, and you know that as a parent, if it's something your child normally has, they go to school and you monitor them. But if they have other symptoms that look new to you, like coughs and temperatures, those kind of symptoms, then you keep them at home.
Okay. And schools may still insist that you have a negative COVID test before you come in with the snuffles.
They may do. But again, our advice would be clear on that, both to the principals of schools and in our HSE advice, that's not the advice at the moment. We recognise how invasive COVID testing is for children and the impact on them. So again, we would say that to the parents. It's up to the parents to make that decision for their child, and only test them if they believe, they get the advice of a GP that it's the right thing to do.
Is there a risk involved here in taking this decision for our schools? I know it was suggested last night that this could result in school closures by somebody who was very worried about it. I mean, is this a gamble?
I don't think we feel it's a gamble. I think we have a lot of evidence over the last year and throughout the summer. And I think, the gamble is on their education. That's the important part. So when we look at the risk assessment, we have to look at the impact broader than the disease transmission. We have to look at the impact on children and how important it is that they're in school and they continue their education, because it has been disturbed over the last 2 years. And as we all know as parents, that's been quite difficult. Children have to catch up socially and education-wise. So that's the balance. The risk.
I think it was the INTO actually that said, this could result in school closures. You're confident that won't happen as a result of this change?
Well, we're still where there's a case where there's multiple cases in a school, of course they will be assessed by public health. What we're suggesting is routine, one singular case in a school will not disturb the class. But if there are multiple cases or public health have any concerns, they will of course do a public health risk assessment in that scenario and will look at what's required. But it's the routine, everybody, every day, is what's changing.
Okay, and then the rules around close contacts for children who are in special schools or special classes in primary schools, they remain the same, is that right?
Not quite the same, but they will be subject to a public health risk assessment. So there's higher contact in those schools, and there are more vulnerable children in those schools. So they will get a public health risk assessment by the public health doctor, and they will make a decision then whether to take the children out, which children might need to restrict their movements. But we will reduce the test down to one, and likely reduce the exclusion period down to about 5 days. Okay. So not the 10 days that it is today.
So the public health assessment, then, if there is a case in a school, you said that if there were a number of cases in a class, that public health would do the assessment then. If there's one case or two cases, do public health get involved now in those circumstances?
No,
from Monday?
Not as routinely. So if there's one case in a class, that's the change that we're making, that we're saying the remainder of the children in the class can still go to school as normal. But if they are aware of multiple cases, or they just believe there's an issue in a locality or in the future with the variant, absolutely, they will do a public health risk assessment to make sure that school gets the right advice.
So will it be up to the principal in the school to notify you if they have more than one case in a class, or how will that system work now?
So always public health departments get that information directly from Test and Trace. They do also at times get it from the principal, but they would get it, generally speaking, from the contact management programme, because they will come through to all public health departments cases that are in schools.
But surely there'll need to be some sort of a triple lock system now, so that you can identify if there are two or three cases in a class.
Yes, but that system has already existed, where they will be able to look at a school and look at the cases that are coming through, because public health is all around the country and they do look at their own area, and they would be very knowledgeable in their area of the schools, of the principals, and in the general disease levels in their area.
So you're saying there won't be an increased reliance after Monday on principals coming to you with this information?
No, that information has always been there for public health, and they will act on it if they see fit to act on it and they believe there's any risk.
Okay. Can you talk to me a little bit about the volumes of children under the age of 12 that you're testing at the moment? Because we're here and hearing anecdotally from listeners that, you know, there's just queues of small children at test centres because they have the runny nose or whatever cold symptoms. Is that the case?
Absolutely, it is the case. I mean, we have done in the last number of days and weeks more testing nearly than we've ever done in the pandemic so far. We've had the last 7 days of just under 180,000 tests. And there's only once we've ever hit a number like that before last January. So it is extremely busy in the test centres most of the days of the week. Monday to Friday, we're doing nearly 20,000 tests just in the community, excluding what's happening in hospitals. And there are high volumes of children. So the volume the week before school started versus this last week, it's 3.5 times the size for primary school children. What we've noticed with secondary school children, less so. They're obviously more fully vaccinated, but their levels are not climbing the same level. It's the primary school where you're seeing the biggest growth.
And the reason for that is because regular bugs are back, do you think?
Yes, there's a combination of reasons. There are reasons of them being a close contact, but there are also other viruses circulating at the moment, as you know, children have been not in that setting for some time. So absolutely, there are other viruses. We're hearing a lot of upper respiratory symptoms similar to COVID, other colds and viruses around the place that drive parents, correctly so, to the test centre because their children are symptomatic.
Okay, Niamh, thank you very much for coming in. Niamh O'Byrne there from the HSE. We'll take a break.